Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We return from Cheltenham. A slightly different show in light of everything that's going on in the world at the moment, but I still think we had some fun moments.
We did, yes.
Tim Vine, comedian, Elvis impersonator, Sutton United fan, all areas we covered this afternoon when he joined us in the studio. Always good to see him. We had live sport. It's egg-based, as you're discovering. Yeah. It was very exciting.
Very exciting. And Paul Breen Turner, our old mate from Spain.
He's in lockdown.
He is, but what it's like...
Not even in his own property, which is a bit weird.
You feel for those people.
Yeah. And we still put Andy to the test on last week's shows at Cheltenham in Don't Ask Me. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. And these are strange times. I know that because I watched Halifax against Ebbsfleet. I've never watched anything like that in my life.
Yes, you did say it was a bit of a shock to the system. So what was it? I mean, look, it's great that there was live football on for you, Andy, so you got your fix. Because I think that could well be it. I watched the rugby league yesterday.
It was a bit one-sided. It wasn't a great game, was it?
It wasn't. I was saying to our old friend Martin Kellner, I sent him a couple of texts, and this was potentially a great shop window for the sport, but Saints didn't really turn up, unfortunately. It was a very one-sided game.
It was a good game, the Ebbsfleet. The thing is about the National League, you know, the players, obviously, if those players were playing in Sunday morning, they'd look fantastic. They're obviously very, very... they're obviously very good players.
I'm looking at our producers of the National League side. That is quite damning with faint praise.
No, they're very, very good players. A bit like... It is the difference between going to a play at the Old Vic and something at the local arts centre. That's, for me, there is a difference. You know, you've got to say that. There is definitely a difference. You can't say there's no difference between the Premier League standard.
No, there isn't. I think there is a difference. Yeah. But I thought it was quite interesting that you opened up by saying
it's just it's the honesty, you know.
I'm sure if they played Sunday football, they'd be brilliant.
I tell you what I did like. you know what I'm saying. I enjoyed the sort of rugby league style dressing room shots of the coverage. Yes. You know, where it's mute. Mm. But you can see the manager, like Kevin Watson, the Ebbsfleet manager, was brilliant the way he was so animated. And you could see what he wanted the players to do. And you could see they did it in the second half. So that was a lot of insight. I'm not sure about interviewing him, though, at 1-0 up when Halifax were attacking. It would have been right cringer if the ball had gone in while the girl was talking to him, you know, interviewing him as Halifax were approaching the Ebbsfleet goal. I thought that was a bit risky. But all in all, it was all right. Halifax had Terry Cooper's grandson playing for them, Charlie Cooper.
Oh, right.
So they had a player called Cooper and then a player called Mayer. So it's easy to see who'll get the blame for their defeat. Mayer Cooper. Come on.
That's nice. Thank you clever very that much. One for all the Latin scholars out there.
Latin puns on Jim's show.
Yeah, well, you might do. We may have just missed them. Gary O'Neill could have done 10 minutes in Latin while we were having our meeting. We've got no idea.
Highly unlikely.
There is still live sport on, Andy Goldstein says. Yesterday, Judd Trump won a record-breaking sixth ranking event in the season. We are going to have a chat about this event later on, Andy.
Text me as well, Andy.
We're going to have a chat to one of the players who had to self-referee at that tournament because they were shooting the old Gibraltar Open. Hendry could only manage five, and the Tour Championship begins in Wales tomorrow. So there is live sport. A lot of it's going to be going on. We've got live racing at Kelso. A lot of it's going to be going on behind closed doors, as we know.
There's not much live sport, let's be honest. It's very, very reduced.
And I think it's going to get further reduced over the next 24 hours or so, understandably.
But Ken Doherty, he doesn't want the Crucible to hold the World Championship without fans. But I was thinking there'd be less coughing and throat clearing that you normally get at the Crucible.
That there probably would be. That's very true. I mean, look, it wouldn't hurt it as much. I don't see why you can't play snooker behind closed doors. I mean, you could.
No,
always,
because
the, would you take a little bit of sweetening in the you know, you could have someone there on a control if there's a good shot. Someone could just play a little bit of a pause in.
Sitcom sweetening. Okay.
So you could just sort of put in an applause track.
Yeah.
But it would make you feel like there was a crowd there. Remember the old TV show 15 to 1?
Oh, yeah.
During that time, we popped into the studio because it was next door to where we were working.
Right.
And we were shocked and stunned to find there was no studio audience there. So all those people used to applaud at the end of the beginning and say goodbye to contestants.
Yeah.
No, they weren't there at all.
No, nobody was there at all. It was all virtual.
That's right.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't put you off. It wouldn't ruin you. You know there weren't people there.
There's certain sports snooker, definitely. You know, fishing, for example, that he doesn't need a round.
If we just have one kind of response, so kind of the polite or the applause you get at the crucible for a great shot, right?
Yeah.
But you'd use that for a brilliant goal in the football. We just have government sponsored applause for
rubbish,
all sporting events. It might be a little bit different.
I've got a result from the Paraguayan Jail League.
Oh, have you really?
Because Ronaldinho's team won 11-2. It's not a great surprise, is it, really?
That's still gone ahead, is it? Well, that has to be by default behind closed doors,
yeah,
doesn't
it?
It
was very much so, yeah.
He is in a Paraguayan jail. If you've missed this story and all the mayhem that's been going on, old Ronaldinho Gaúcho, as Tim Vickery always calls him, of course,
he borrowed the guard's training shoes.
Is that what he did? He's got 6 months. He lost an appeal and he's in there with his brother Roberto.
6 months?
Apparently. They're saying, he's going to spend he's likely to spend 6 months in jail after losing his remand appeal.
Good Lord.
They say he poses a medium to high risk of skipping the country if bailed.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I think that's fair enough. I think the judge had a point there.
I don't think
he'll be sticking around in Paraguay to await justice, will he?
Yeah.
Be smuggled out in a violin case or something. Well, slightly bigger than that. Double bass case. It's not that small.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. We can go on together with suspicious.
Well, that is my karaoke Elvis song of choice, actually, Suspicious Minds. The producer didn't know that, but more on that.
Is that
in
Elvis
a moment
or Tim? I couldn't tell.
Well, yeah, very good question. Just before we carry on, good afternoon to Stephen Hendry, often tunes in. Hi, Steve. Sorry, mate, I read in good faith an Andy Goldstein message out
did
earlier
it deliberately
on that in brackets says Hendry can only manage 5. And then Andy said, Steve's not happy you said Hendry can only manage 5. Blame Goldstein, Steve, nothing to do with me. Anyway, Tim Vine is with us. Tim is Plastic Elvis, a unique tribute to a legend.
Yes, that's right. I've always been a massive Elvis fan, and I thought this was the right time in my career to become an Elvis impersonator. Aged 53, this is the right moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Had you perfected one in the... Had you ever kind of gone into it?
Well, kind of you to use a word like perfected. There's someone who hasn't seen the act. Well, I first started sort of... I was into Elvis from almost immediately after he died, actually. There was such a big splurge of all the stuff that I really got into him aged about 11. And I remember I used to mime to my brother's 1972 Madison Square Garden album.
Right.
And that's how I... That's when I first... attempted to
was
do an
there
impression
one song,
of him.
Can you remember, was there one song that kind of captured your imagination at that time? Was there one song that you loved? Maybe it was your favourite Elvis song?
Well, so much of it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole album, that live album, I loved the whole thing of him, just the charisma that you got from seeing him do anything live. I mean, I can remember the CBS special, which was 2 months before he died, and seeing that. And that, those bits where he walks off stage and you get about 10 seconds of him walking down a corridor. I wanted to see more of that. You know, you think, God, he looks so cool just walking down a corridor. Now, to have that impact on an 11-year-old, it shows the reach of the man, doesn't it?
That's the album that starts with 2001, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So, basically, what does the show consist of? Because, I mean, people would have a certain expectation of going to a Tim Vine show that's got
It's not like Elvis-based puns. Yeah, no, there's no Elvis-based puns.
Yeah.
Well, not really. No, I mean, there really isn't. I was just thinking that there is humour in between the songs, but I do that in kind of Elvis's sort of humour. You know,
I quite like the idea of Elvis was doing puns. I mean, I think...
Yeah, well, I do attempt one at one point, and then I say, I'll leave the comedy to the professionals.
So do the whole show in the voice?
I do the whole thing in character and talk as him in between. I'm doing my best, you know, to be him.
You sort of look like him in the photo. You look at touch of the
which
Robert
photo are you looking at?
Robert De Niro as well.
Oh, that's kind. Well, last time I came in, you said Suede.
Like, it does look a bit like Brett from Suede.
Yeah,
you're
going with that again.
That's true. Yeah.
It does a bit, really. But, yeah, I mean, one of the people you've got working with you has written songs for Elvis. Is that right?
Yes. Now, whether or not he will be with us on the tour, we're not sure.
Flying from the States, is this the issue?
No, his name's David Martin. Right. He's an absolute legend. He also wrote Can't Smile Without You for Barry Manilow.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, he's written some amazing songs.
That's his fault.
That's a brilliant song.
It's a great
that's
song.
That's a brilliant song.
Yeah.
I won't have a word said against it.
Yeah, it's a very good song.
But, no, he wrote four songs for Elvis that Elvis did. There were sort of album songs or songs in, I think one nearly made it into a film, but it ended up on as album tracks. You know?
Yeah.
And he comes on and we sing a duet of one of his songs, but it's probably, I think it's looking like he probably won't do a tour with us.
Oh,
he's in his 70s, David, and, yeah. You know, there's considerations on that front, obviously.
So but, is it a concert set list you've constructed of The King?
Totally. It's just, right. It's really my favourite Elvis songs.
Okay.
The whole thing is a vanity project. Let's not get away from it.
That's very honest of you to admit
well,
that.
I'd like to know who you would, if you could go out on the road with a band and be, who would you like to be? Who would you guys choose?
I would probably go out as the country singer, Charlie Rich, as
trivia. Oh, yeah, okay.
That would have to be behind closed doors, obviously. That's the problem.
Good. That's a good joke.
So
we couldn't have
a crack.
I'll save
that up for you. I told Andy, I said, I'll add that for Tim later.
That's
I'll tell
good.
Andy I'll that to Tim
you.
Later on.
I like it.
But, Andy, who would you like to go out with?
I think Jose Feliciano.
Andy's going to see Jose Feliciano. Well, is Jose still coming now? Is he still coming to Beck's
Hill?
Well,
we don't know.
What does he do? Is that
May the 8th.
I don't even know what it is.
He was Light My Fire was the big hit.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Well, yeah, California Dreaming.
You're doing the Doors version.
Well, Amy Stewart actually I was doing.
Oh, okay.
California Dreaming.
Again, another song that isn't okay. His. Basically, yeah. Sings other people's songs.
He does.
Songs.
Yeah, well, Elvis did sung other people's songs.
Yeah,
Elvis didn't write songs
in his own way.
That's very, very true. I mean, this tour.
I may have to. I don't think Jose's coming.
We are kind of reaching a stage. We're seeing in other countries that even the smallest gatherings of people are being curtailed. So,
yes.
I mean, what are you being told?
Well, there's no danger that my ticket sales are going to get into the area of mass gatherings. it's been selling very well. And we don't know. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, everything's all on until I'm told by the government otherwise. That's the way I've always lived my life.
Yeah.
Who's... the part of John Archer plays Big Buddy Holly. What's
yeah, John
role?
Archer, who is he's my best mate and a comedy magician by trade.
Right,
and he got to the semi-finals of the last Britain's Got Talent, actually.
Okay,
but don't hold that against him.
Oh, right.
He's absolutely brilliant, but he is doing Big Buddy Holly. So he comes on in the first half. And he's sort of a bit bigger than Buddy Holly was, and he's the hiccuping hillbilly sensation, and
right.
comes on and goes, well, hello.
Oh, right. You know. So the songs of Buddy Holly by a slightly bigger man.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's kind of the warm up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you could put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It must be great working with a live band.
It's just
what's the lineup?
It's the High Noon Band, which is got together by a very good friend of mine called Graham Noon, who I've done all my comedy backing tracks and stuff with down the years. So I've known him since I was 18. So he got it together. So he's on the keyboard with various trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
It's a trumpet. No, it's him playing the keyboard. We've got a brilliant drummer, Tony Holmes, bassist, Gary Williams, Roy Soudan, fantastic guitarist, and Josie Quinn, backing singer. And I joke with Josie, I say to the audience, she's got the best voice in this band by some way. You know, because she really has got a fantastic voice.
Ah.
We have to keep her fairly low in the mix, else it shows me up to us.
And the kind of suit you're wearing here is a kind of the sort of comeback special style-y. Are there many changes? Can we expect changes of costume? What was the Elvis?
There's one change
years?
Of costume. At the end of the show, I get out of that.
Right. Hopefully into something else.
That you should pay to see that as well. That's not...
It's a bit like getting out of a diving suit. Is it like
it
a
is,
wet
yeah.
suit?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Imagine if the water was in there as well. Yeah.
So do you do kind of the late Elvis Vegas years trilogy type stuff?
Yeah, American trilogy, we do that. Yeah. But I mean, that suit doesn't, unfortunately, because it's plastic, it doesn't, the sweat doesn't go anywhere. So I, you know, as I say, you know, you, you take the zip down, it's like taking the front off the Hoover Dam, man.
It would be great to do the marathon now in October, possibly. I would do the marathon in that suit.
100 metres, that's as far as I get.
Where did you find a plastic Elvis comeback special outfit from? Did you have it especially made?
Or I wore it in an episode of Not Going Out.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, where he was making a so we say, a rude film accidentally in his flat, right. Lee was.
Yes, yeah.
And I get roped in somehow, and I end up wearing that black suit. And everyone was going, God, this quite suits you, actually, Tim. And I said, it's I've got a belt on it, and I said, it's a bit like Elvis Comeback Special, isn't it? And everyone, maybe everyone was just humouring me. Yes, it is, Tim, yes. yes, you should do that on the road. Yes, I will. And they all laughed.
And is there one song of from the set you do as Plastic Elvis that you always look forward to singing? Is the one you can't wait for it to come up?
It's a sort of classic mistake of singers. I'm now calling myself a singer.
That's a classic mistake right there.
Right there, yeah. But is that they pretend to lead towards a ballad, don't they? Where they get more out of anyone else. So I like some of the slower ones, and I also like Just Can't Help Believing. I just can't help believing.
That's a good song.
That's a good song.
Absolutely.
But I like all this. There's all the stuff like, you know, CC Rider at the beginning, and you know, Blue Suede Shoes, American Trilogy.
Yeah.
Then we've got some slightly more obscure ones. Early Morning Rain. In the early morning rain.
Yeah, he liked Rain Elvis. Kentucky Rain was another one he did.
He was a big fan of Rain. Yes.
Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah, yeah.
He was living in the wrong country.
I never knew that. He would have been a weatherman had it not really worked out.
Did he have an umbrella, or did he just let it fall on him?
I just think he'd let it fall on him, really. Just the kind of man he was.
Well, he liked the water, didn't he? Because this is my one Elvis joke. Elvis Presley was climbing out of his swimming pool for the 10th time. Priscilla said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I can't help falling in love."
Yeah, come on. There we are. Tim Viney's with us. Sutton United fan. We'll talk about that. Marvin said, "I had a very nice day at Dulwich Hamlet the other day." I think Dulwich Hamlet have called time. They've decided not to play anymore, Marvin, subsequently today.
Not to play anymore for the season.
They're not winding up as a club. I don't want to worry the fans, but I think they've taken the decision not to continue. A crowd of 2,000 saw a well-needed win over Hemel Hempstead. Get yourself down to your local non-league club. They need the help. And all the time, it is being played in front of small crowds. I mean, look, I don't know if it's irresponsible to say get behind your local club or not. We don't quite know what the government guidelines are at the moment. But
it's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, one wants to, you know, I mean, these clubs, the wonderful thing about, I'm a Sutton fan, but the great thing about Sutton is just, it's different. It's totally different from the, you know, you go to, I'll give Chelsea as an example because my brother's a fan. Yeah. But that kind of massive Premier League thing is all great and very exciting, but there's something fantastically unpretentious about as the National League.
Well, Andy watched Ebbsfleet versus who is it?
Halifax.
Halifax.
It was a good game. Andy watched the game the other day. Plenty of endeavour, plenty of skill, but there is a difference between Premier League football and National League football.
Yes, of course there is. Of course there is. Yeah.
Tim's with us. We will chat about Sutton United and other matters besides. You can catch him on tour. We'll talk more about that as well. Plastic Elvis, and it gets underway Friday the 1st of May and runs until the middle of June.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tim Vine is with us, actor, comedian, and Sutton United fan. You were at the game midweek last week with our producer John Cadogan and Charlie Baker, who do the not at all talky United biased national obsession.
Not at all. No.
And you took them to the game. You gave them a bit of hospitality at Sutton United, didn't you?
They had a meal and everything, and we never discovered what would have happened if what their reaction would have been to a talky goal, because we won 2-0. But because they were sitting with the chairman and we in that sort of little cluster of
Did you warn them not to react?
No, we didn't actually. We sort of said, do what you want to do, I think. Well, I think the chairman may have said something along the lines of, well, it might look slightly strange if you... That's my impression of Bruce Elliott.
Is that...
Bruce is hilarious. Absolutely
that's
hilarious.
Maybe that's a new set. It could be impressions of people from non-league football.
Almost as soon as they sat down for lunch, the first person he mentioned was Charlie Baker, as we know.
Yeah.
And he goes, I thought you said he was a comedian. And Charlie was like, blimey. And I said, don't worry, he insults everyone. And then he went, it's just that you were the first. Don't worry, it's going to happen to everyone.
He works the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you considered, Sutton United currently find themselves 14th sort of similar territory to Torquay United.
So we had a great run over Christmas. We started the first half of the season. They were all kind of 1-0s going against us. And it felt like it was unlucky, some of those results. And I think probably that was the case, because now everything seems to have just gone the other way. We've got two very quick people up front. David Adjiboy. I knew I'd get the pronunciation wrong. Right. David, as I always shout him.
Yeah, come on, Dave.
He's fantastic,
Dave.
Though. He's absolutely brilliant. And he didn't let us down. When I said to Charlie and John, I said, you want to watch David, because he's... And they realised he had an absolute blinder, you know.
Mm.
And should just mention Mike Chapman, who was at Beano Records. He used to supply us with loads
of
discs, which he had a lot of fun with over the years. He's a Sutton United fan. He was there on Saturday, and he sat with you and had lunch at a game earlier in the season.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, I know him well.
He's probably got a lot of old Elvis records.
I'm sure he has.
Limited edition.
Alan Devonshire of Maidenhead was not at all happy that the game went on at the weekend. He's not happy. He said it's not about football, it's about life. And at the moment, we've got no direct message from National League. How do you feel about the games going ahead?
Well, I don't know. Thankfully, it's not my decision to, you know, we just have to take it from the experts and do what we're told.
Would you still go, Tim? Would you still feel comfortable?
Not if we were told not to go, I wouldn't go. I mean, it's a bit of a strange one for comedians, isn't it? Because we need audiences. I mean, I'm supposed to be going to the Edinburgh Festival in August. I'm trying to get some stuff out, find out what's funny. And you can't try out what's funny on individuals. You need to have people sat in front of you.
Sure.
So it's a, you know, and football, I suppose you can play without an audience, but then people are kind of saying you can't, aren't they? Sort of.
Well, you can. It's just not as good. That's all.
Yeah. No, true.
I mean, it's quite hard to do comedy without an audience. As you say, that is.
It's not as good. Yeah.
That is quite difficult.
Yeah.
I was thinking that you could do a gig online and people could tune into it, but Paul made the point that you wouldn't get
laughter. You wouldn't get nothing back, would you, really?
Yeah.
Unless we played in that little bit of sweetener from the snooker, which is what we're thinking.
That's true. And also, you couldn't make a living from that, could you? That's the other thing.
No, you could. Well, I mean, well, unless you charge pay-per-view.
Yeah,
pay-per-view plastic Elvis in front of no audience. The big ending of the song, you know, that would be, and then nothing.
No sound as well, because I wouldn't have any clearance for the songs. Just be a visual.
Tim, would you pay a quid each to watch Tim Vine mime Elvis songs? Basically, in a wetsuit.
Yeah, Tim Mime.
Tim Mime, that's it. That would certainly be.
What about the rest of your career? Are you doing any
of How do you see it going? Don't start asking him questions like that.
Rest of your career forever. I mean the rest of your work.
Well, as I say, my main concern has been, until all the dramas recently, really, that I'm trying to get a new hour of stand-up together, which I was going to do and hoping still to do, at the Edinburgh Festival. So that's kind of the... My main thing is I'm a comedian. This is Elvis thing is a bit of a sidewards thing, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Sidetrack.
We talk... I mean, there's not a lot of games. We're going to talk later on to the guys at Zenit St. Petersburg who did play at the weekend, but even they're having to adjust their cloth accordingly. But we read it that Charlie Riot. We don't want any trouble. Charlie Wyatt from The Sun. I predict a Wyatt. Knox County 4, Eastleigh 0. He said that was the biggest crowd for a game in Western Europe at the weekend. The 4,942 went to that match.
Well, a friend of mine did a gig in Colchester. In fact, it was John Archer did a gig in Colchester last night. Was it last night, Sunday? No, the night before, Saturday. He said it was rammed and everyone was in a fantastic mood. And it was kind of, I think maybe there's an element of people just really, you know, when while we're still allowed to, you know.
There is. I mean, the thing is that people keep making there are lots of comparisons being made with a kind of wartime spirit, which of course most people, probably all of us, have never experienced.
Exactly.
But it's a very different one is a virus and one was the Luftwaffe. I mean,
different.
There is a difference.
Yes. You couldn't blow them and
hunker down to protect yourself from a virus.
It's community spirit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. But there are different, you can't, you know.
If you blew your nose, the Luftwaffe wouldn't retreat. That's what you're pointing.
No, that's just, you know, there are subtle differences, of course, as I'm sure we're all aware.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you can't take in football matches, Tim, and you can't go to Sutton, then you won't be able to watch England, which is another one of your.
No, I know.
Are you a player of? Do you like Football Manager? You get involved in any of that? Do you buy like?
I'm thinking of getting a computer. Yes.
Oh, are you really?
And then maybe playing some of those games on it. Yeah, or just improving my darts. Darts is a sport that's very healthy at home on your own, just practicing. Yeah. You know, it becomes less healthy in a pub, of course, because I was thinking about that. If you have one of those electric scorers, you're both doing that thing where you're pressing it. You're both touching the board, and you're not sharing darts, obviously. But
well, I saw one of the guys from Matchroom the other day, and obviously they're worrying times for them on a lot of levels, not just from the boxing, but from the darts and the snooker. Because how reliant do you think darts is on a big audience to bring that to life? Because obviously they've got the big tour going on. They're going to have to start looking at what they can and can't do around Europe.
It's probably the same arguments about the football. It's just a lot better with an audience there, isn't it? I mean, you could play it.
I think you could play darts without a crowd. I mean, you could play without a crowd.
Yeah, but in terms of viewing, in terms of watching football at home, you could absolutely watch football at home without a crowd, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
We had the England-Croatia game, didn't we? Croatia against England. It was pretty lame.
Well, I watched the highlights last week of the Manchester United match, and it's just eerie. But, I mean, if it's the only alternative, maybe it may come to
that. Some good goals in that game. I thought it took the pressure off them.
It did. It did. It was their finest hour, the Manchester United's opponents last week. Really, it was the biggest game they've ever had, and they had to play it with nobody there. But anyway, so, Tim. We really do hope these gigs go ahead.
Absolutely, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I know people are probably, I don't know whether people are buying tickets at this very moment for events, but let's hope. And, you know, just to put a positive spin on everything, isn't it a beautiful time weather-wise at the moment?
It is.
Spring is in the air. I'll tell you what, when I go into my garden in the morning, the sparrows are singing, and I saw a goldfinch and a nuthatch in my garden this morning. Right. They don't know there's any, you know, there's parts of the world that are not affected.
Okay, that's true.
Nature.
Okay. Well, that's true. We should take some solace in those kind of things.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, interestingly, my wife was telling me earlier on she went and did a bit of shopping. It was some odd, weird, wonderful things. There were tissues there, supposedly, in the supermarket, but no eggs. People had wiped the shelves of eggs.
I don't understand that.
Perishable, which I find quite odd.
Well, they last,
quite know,
you know
why that's the
they're
case.
At their best when they're fresh, but I suppose they do last about a month or so.
Yeah,
but,
that's not really... I don't bring it up for that reason. No. But she said the kind of... The shopping demographic was very different for a Monday morning. It was predominantly men. There was lots and lots of men shopping there. Obviously, working from home, thinking, right, I'll go out and get the shopping. So it was a very sort of different setup. So people are doing stuff. They are already, I think we're seeing, and this is only likely to get worse, if you like. We're going to see a situation where people are going to be doing stuff well outside the comfort zone, maybe returning to things they haven't done for a while or maybe learning a new skill. Our old mate Crackers has been in touch, Andy, hasn't he?
He has. Richard Cracknell. He's on lockdown in Lanzarote, where he lives now, and... just looking for his tweet. He basically decided that they're only allowed to go out one person at a time. So he went out to get some... But here we are. Currently on lockdown in Lanzarote, only allowed one person at a time, decided to go to cycle to the shop to get butter. Not been on a push bike for circa 30 years. About a 2-mile round trip. But when I got back, I demanded Mrs. C gave me a yellow jersey, brackets T-shirt, to wear. Out of his comfort zone.
So there we are. The Crackers he's got back on the bike after all these years. The last one he had had stabilisers. So is there anything you've done so far or plan to do in light of the virus or maybe the change to your work practices that you want to tell us about? Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TSH&J. Charlie the cabbie said a number of people also out shopping. Weird and wonderful nature of what people are stockpiling, which they shouldn't be doing anyway in any shape or form. But Charlie says, there's a guy behind me with a trolley full of soup.
Hope it's in tins.
People are acting very strangely.
Well, people are worried. You know, the thing is, if you're going to have to stay in for 2 weeks at a time, I'd say this, I'm normally not a fan of any sort of things like this, but you understand that people, you know, it's sensible to have at least a couple of weeks' worth of provisions, a bit of pasta, a bit of tin food, because you might have to be...
A couple of weeks, not a couple of years.
No, not a couple of years.
We're desperate,
and also people profiteering. That bloke pictured with his trolley full of rolls and rolls and rolls of toilet paper. I mean, he should definitely not be allowed to buy any of those.
No, it's there's some weird, wonderful stuff going on. In terms of sport, I'm going to tell you about some sport that's still on. Yeah. Davey tells us, Greyhound racing is still going ahead. And it's, I don't think dogs get it, do they? Maybe misinformation.
No.
Dog's not coughing at the moment, so I'm working on the basis things are okay. Good news for my dog, the gravy bones are still in plentiful supply. She had a slightly worried look in her eye earlier
really?
On. As my wife head off to the supermarket.
They don't get big crowds, do they, for the Greyhound race?
I don't think so.
But when you're watching on telly, you wouldn't know if there's a crowd there or not.
It's live on Sky Channel 175 and Freesat Channel 176 from 6 p.m. tonight, racing from Nottingham and Yarmouth. Davey, thank you very much.
Well, it's quite a bit of fun.
It could be the making of sports.
Like it,
I was saying this yesterday, you know.
But I can tell you now, like, it's 2 from 3 from 6 from 4 and 5 is back in third. It's all that. That's the comedy. Yeah. Nobody ever knows the name of the dogs.
Different number configurations are available, of course.
Oh, except for Burning Rubber, who won the 4:45 at Bellevue last week and got us out of a bit of jail.
I'm still looking
for these mad stories. I mean, this one, ABBA legend Bjorn Ulvaeus downs 20 coffees a day. Good Lord. Which works out at 7,300 cups a year.
Yeah.
Bjorn said, I wake up quite early and the first... Of course you do. 20 cups of coffee. I'm surprised you even got to sleep. Goodness sake, man.
Very true.
And... Chip fan, I don't know who that is.
Chip fan
Rudy Guybert's has eaten more than 12,000 bags of French fries in the past 30 years. God. Yeah. And the 45-year-old Belgian claims it's kept him healthy. It seemed unlikely.
Well, he's still going strong, isn't he?
Well, he's only 45.
I pay brief tribute to a man that I did a little bit of work with back in the day.
Oh, yes.
The great Roy Hudd.
Yeah, sad news.
I had a sort of bursary once at the BB years ago, and I used to go and spend my Thursday lunchtimes watching the news headlines recorded down at the Paris studios on Lower Regent Street. And he was a lovely man. He was a lovely man. He was a very funny man. He was a brilliant performer. He was a great writer. He was a sort of comedy historian who, if you got in a... Oh, I'm tipping stuff everywhere. If you got into conversations with him about the old Star Music Hall stuff, etc., it was absolutely fascinating.
He used to play Bud Flanagan of Flanagan and
Out. He did, yeah. Certainly for people of a certain era, but he did do some kind of acting later in life. He did some sort of comedy dramas and was brilliant in
them.
Talented. But,
I
think everybody's been saying much the same thing. He was a very talented man, but first and foremost, he was just a lovely fella, so it was very sad
news
today.
And also, Britain's oldest surviving cricketer has died, aged 105.
Yeah.
John Manners. And quite an intriguing sort of... He basically played 21 first-class matches.
Yes.
Between 1937 and 1953. You think how much cricket they play now?
Yeah.
So over a period of 16 years, he only played 21 games.
Wow, wow.
But John Arlott wrote that no player in Hampshire's history was more intriguing.
Well, what about that?
What else have we got here? Let's have a look. I'm looking at these minor stories in troubled times. I've got one about Britain's oldest hairdresser.
Oh, okay. Wow, Britain's oldest hairdresser.
Yes. Oh, this one. This is a sort of story. This is an odd story.
I've got planning news if you want to get ready with a jingle. Okay. I've got planning.
All right, let me just do
it's
this
sporting
one.
Sporting related. Now it's going to take more while to find it.
Oh, yeah, find the planning news.
Yeah.
A wild monkey that raided a meatball factory avoided capture and was chased off into the woods in southern Thailand. How did that make our papers?
I mean, it's almost as if there's not a lot going on. Yeah,
well, I know.
We'll go big with a meatball-nicking monkey. That's the front page sorted for today. Everything else can just fall in line around
it's
that.
It's ridiculous, yeah. Really. So if you see any of those stories, I need those stories to keep going over the next few weeks. So do send them to me. I'll be very grateful. I'll look out for my own as well. But this one, for example, they're all nothing about nothing. Bradley Mumford, 21, of Essex, bought an Arsenal versus Olympiacos programme on eBay, the same one nicked from his seat. Is that in the paper?
Well, there's either a lot of news about one thing or no news about anything else.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So there we go. So we'll take a few of those over the next few weeks.
Planning news? You want planning news?
Oh, I do want planning
it's,
news.
It's sporting related. Here we go.
Planning news.
Yeah, and that's it. Planning news. Essentially, the jingle doesn't add a great deal. Yeah. It's just planning news, isn't it?
Well, it gives it a bit of texture.
And you think, what's planning news if you're just joining us? Well, planning news is what happens is that the way often journalism works these days, Pulitzer's all around, if you're not scouring social media, you're looking at send the work experience down, look at the planning applications for today, because it'll always turn up something. There, yeah. And sure enough, we've got Formula One tycoon Eric Hirzman, who was forced to take down £100,000. Take down a £100,000 chandelier in a row with his upstairs neighbours. I hope they got Grandad and Del Boy to do it. That would have been fantastic.
Why were they worried? I read this story and I couldn't work out. They're above him, so why are they worried about the... I suppose they're worried because the heavy chandelier could pull the whole ceiling down.
Yeah, it's a 23-stone light. That's not a contradiction. It's a 23-stone chandelier.
God, that's a lot of chandelier.
Imagine the moose in chandelier form.
Yeah, but you'd
hanging from your ceiling.
A 23-stone man could hang from the ceiling without pulling the ceiling down. Sure.
Well, okay. Well, do you want to give that a try? We may well have the time over the next couple of weeks to put
give
that
it a
to
go
the
in
test.
The studio.
Okay. We'll get some of that gorilla glue and we get the moose and we pat him out a bit.
Not that much.
Anyway, the 23-stone light threatened to tear down the living room of a retired BP chairman. Sir Peter Waters, 89, his wife Meryl, 74. We don't need the ages. Well, they got a court order in Kensington.
We do these things.
Rich Eric, or Reckless Eric, as I'm calling him,
yes.
The kids, 58, will fight them in court. He said, I can probably buy them and sell them twice over. Yeah, that's a way to get them on side.
That's a bit arrogant, isn't it?
That's the way to get them on side, Reckless Eric.
That's not a good idea to say that, really. Yeah.
For the first time ever, says Dan, I'm listening to the 4-H and J show and not the podcast. You probably think to yourself,
it's not as good.
Half an hour is hard enough. 3 hours of this rubbish. It was a struggle on the commute to work this morning. A lane closed on the stairs due to a pile of washing. Then a bottleneck coming into the kitchen as myself and the cats queued up to get through the gap.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We now turn to somebody we often talk to about Spanish football, but on a slightly different subject now, because he contacted me yesterday and said, I'm living a very surreal experience at the moment. Mm. I'm in lockdown in Spain.
Our old friend Crackers, who we heard from earlier.
That's right. Paul Breen-Turner, of course, Spanish football expert, joins us now. Paul, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi fellas. I've, over the years, spoken to you from a lot of different places, but never under house arrest.
Well, is that what it feels like, Paul, effectively?
Yeah. It's bizarre. I'm here. I can't go out. I can only go out if I'm going to the supermarket to do some essential shopping or I'm going to a chemist. Apart from that, we are completely forbidden from going out on the streets. The police are patrolling here. They've got drones going overhead. And if you get caught and you cannot give a proper reason, it's an on-the-spot fine of at least €100 and up to 6,000.
Where are you in Malaga at the moment, Paul?
I'm near Gibraltar.
Gibraltar.
For those of you, I'm just over the border from about 300 metres. I can see Gibraltar from where I am.
Right.
So I'm in the Spanish town of La Linha.
Okay. Are you on
the boat?
Are you on board your boat?
Do you know a bizarre thing happened? I left the boat and I came over for lunch at some friend's place a couple of days ago.
Hmm.
Who occasionally, if it's rough weather, I stay with them. And it went on TV that a state of emergency had been called. And next thing, all the cops were whizzing around and I was kind of stuck here.
Right. Okay.
So,
your friend's
still
house?
Here.
So you're at a friend's house. You're not even in your own place.
But I might sneak over to the boat. Things seem to be a bit quieter now. So I've got my passport and my bits and pieces. So hopefully I can make it back to the boat, which is about a mile away from where I am.
Yeah, because, I mean, your friends, I mean, they might like you, but they're not going to want you to stay in permanent
slightly outstaying, you're welcome. Much.
Now, I just want to ask you something, because I've heard a lot about this, and I'm sure we're going to get this here, about being only able to go out to buy at a supermarket. When you do that, is the supermarket that busy, or is it staggered? I mean, you know, if everybody went out at the same time, then you'd have the same problem, you know, that you've got about gathering. So, I mean, how are they sort of controlling that?
Yeah, I calculated people have lunch at about 2 o'clock. So I went about 3 o'clock thinking there were going to be less people. And it wasn't too bad. The shelves were probably 70% less full as what I would normally expect. But there weren't that many people, and people were very civilized. Were asked by the government to stand a meter away from each other. Everybody was very calm at the checkout. Everybody was thanking the girl for her hard work. And there was a lack of meat. There was a lack of vegetables. So a lot of people have stocked up with things like pasta and tinned foods and bits and pieces. Oh, and there is a little bit of humour, guys, because you are allowed to take your dog out.
Okay.
So there's a guy in this building where I am called Paco, and he's been lending his dog to a few of the neighbours.
So the poor dog will be exhausted.
I've actually taken the dog out for a walk a couple of times, and you're quite right. I mean, he's puffing and panting. He doesn't want to go out anymore.
So just to get a bit of fresh air, to sort of share it around, it means everybody in the block. Are you noticing a bit of a community spirit then, Paul, amongst the people there?
We really are. There's a very emotional thing that's taking place. Every evening at 8 o'clock, people gather if they have a balcony, or they just open the windows, or if they're in a garden. Everybody goes outside, and there's a massive round of applause that goes on for about 10 minutes, 8 o'clock Central European time every evening, in support of the doctors and the nurses and really people in supermarkets and all people who are putting themselves in the face of danger, you know, and especially the doctors and the nurses who are massively admired here for their bravery. So that's quite an uplifting experience, and we look forward to that in the evening. Even the beaches here, guys, are all roped off. The parks are all fenced off. The kids can't go out and play. I can only describe it as something I've seen in the old war films, you know, when there was a curfew and you were not allowed to go out on the streets. It's like that. It's quite bizarre. I'm looking out now from where I am. Sun is shining. It's a glorious day. And I can't see one person.
Have they given any, I don't suppose they can really, but have they given any sort of indication of time limit of how long this might go on?
They have. They've said initially 15 days. And then they'll make further statements there. Every morning they do have a press conference. Pedro Sanchez, you may have seen this, but Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, he came on. His wife has been diagnosed positive with the coronavirus. And every time somebody high profile gets it, that is all over the news. But no, we're expecting this to last at least 15 days, and then they'll make a decision after that. And in regard to, I heard you mention in Gibraltar a little early on, the border here is open. There are about 12,000 workers from La Línea here in Spain who cross that border every day to work. They have been allowed to go over. Some have been asked to show proof of work contracts. But in Gibraltar itself, all bars and restaurants are closed for 21 days.
Wow.
And the hotel, restaurants and bars are only open for people who are staying there. So the whole thing has been taken very, very seriously.
Sure, understand.
And the other thing, trying to put a bit of lightness on it, I've been watching television here because my friends have got satellite TV and we have the Spanish channels as well. Mm. All the channels seem to be showing disaster movies.
Oh, well,
great.
You know, like, well done to the programmers. Well, fantastic, isn't
brilliant.
It?
Brilliant.
I mean, it's just like that one Matthew McConaughey, the one where he goes to Mars and then he's behind the bookcase. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yes.
Trying to save the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's even odd. You need, Senorita Brown's boys, don't you, really? You need a bit of that.
Exactly.
Paul, we will check in with you again. Stay safe, hunker down, and go and take that dog for a walk again, even though it doesn't going to start biting your ankles every time the lead comes out. But we'll catch up with you soon, Paul. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I do need a sporting fixer because I can watch so much of ordinary telly with my wife, but I found that I had to go and watch a bit of rugby league. I had to go and watch Halifax v Ebbsfleet. I started watching The Test on Amazon. It's about Australia's journey from disgrace to winning the Ashes, and unfortunately it has a very happy ending for them, which makes it a bit tricky to watch, but it's really interesting. You know, brilliantly the access they've got, and you know, obviously right from that low point to the high point. So I should watch that.
Yeah,
I'm sure other people will discover similar things. The badminton was on. I couldn't understand why that was on with all those crowds there. And honestly, I lasted about 3 minutes. Worse than tennis, really.
You couldn't get into the badminton,
great,
though.
Is it, really?
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Anthony has been in touch. I mean, I mentioned earlier on, my wife said that there'd been a run on eggs at the supermarket.
Yeah.
If you wanted tissues and toilet paper, apparently not so bad. But if you wanted eggs, forget it. They'd sold out of eggs. They're perishable. No one's really thought that through. But Anthony said, I've had 4 out of 6 eggs that have been double yolkers from a standard box from the supermarket. 2 to go for the grand slam.
Oh, that is
exciting.
I mean,
it might be nice to get him on air while he breaks the last two.
Well, don't break them for nothing, just for us. Let's do them tomorrow.
Oh, come on. He's got a chance to be on national radio.
He's breakfast tomorrow morning, and then he can't get any more.
Oh, that's, well, certainly in my part of the world he can't. There might be in other parts of the world he might be. It's up to you, Anthony. If you're prepared to come on and break 2 eggs, passes as live
tomorrow
sport.
And let us know.
Okay. Well, you're going to eat them overnight.
Well,
can't he just make a massive omelette? That would be. It's up to you, Anthony. It's your call, mate. If you want to come on national radio and break 2 eggs, and for what passes as live sport at the moment, you're very welcome.
Well, that's
if
fair
not,
enough, really.
If not, I mean, Andy, I've never known you so angry about something, Andy.
No, not angry. I'm
Andy
concerned
waste,
for him.
You want to waste 2 eggs? Yeah,
I'd feel guilty.
We're not quite in lockdown mode yet.
You know, tempting for Anthony to think, oh, I come
he's
on
offered.
National radio.
He's offered to break the last 2 eggs.
Yeah.
As part
he comes
of,
on, and then his family say, "Oh, Dad, where's me scrambled eggs?" Like, oh, sorry, I wasted them on a Hawksby and Jacobs. Yeah, that's not good.
Is that conversation going to happen? I've never known. You don't give about anybody and anything, and suddenly you've got this conscience.
Well, this is the times we're living in. I'm suddenly concerned about people.
Scrambled your brains. You're going to become a very different person. I don't
highly
think.
Unlikely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, first it was, double yolkers. Anthony Cassidy got in touch earlier on. He says, I've had 4 out of 6 eggs that have been double yolkers from a standard box. That's the key. Someone who said we should have a steward.
Yes.
Mac, who said stewards because they sell double yolkers in a supermarket. But this is a standard box, 4 from 6. And he's prepared to go for the grand slam with the remaining 2 eggs, despite Andy's concern that his kids will miss out on an omelette. Why should he care? Anthony, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Andy.
Wow, this is drama in the extreme,
well,
as Nigel Pearson would say.
It?
So you've had 6 double yolkers.
No,
from
4.
Four double yolkers from a standard box of half a dozen eggs. Is this right?
Yeah, I can confirm. They are 6 large free-range eggs.
Yeah.
And they are not a box of double yolkers. They're just a standard box.
Wow, this is, I mean, the odds, I mean, we didn't get Paddy Power, maybe we should have done, but the odds on getting 4 out of 6 double yolkers in a standard box is pretty high. You could have retired on the proceeds.
I say he's not going to get 6, I think.
You think there might be one more might have one more in his locker? What do you think,
well,
Andy?
Possibly one
coming
more.
Into this, I've not had any double yolkers in history.
So you've had 4 in a row. You're on a roll, aren't you?
Oh,
were you making a large omelette? What were you, or cake?
What were you doing with the 4 eggs?
It happened over the weekend, the first two.
Right.
My wife did them, and because there was no sport for the last 5 days, it was genuinely the most exciting thing that happened to me. And then this morning was breakfast, so I thought, well, we're on a roll.
Okay.
Can you allay Andy's fears that your kids will still eat if you break these next 2 eggs?
We're all right.
Good,
we're
okay, that's good.
They can have a cheese sandwich.
That's good, okay. So anyway, egg number 5. There's an element of trust here, Anthony, of course. We trust you.
Oh, no, we trust you.
That you
self-refereeing.
Exactly. It's like the snooker. Yeah. It is like the snooker.
There'd be no point coming on
there
here.
There would be. There's no point coming on and cheating. No. You're cheating yourself. You're cheating your family. You're cheating us. You're cheating the TalkSport listeners. So here we go then, Anthony. This is live egg breaking. Can we get 6 out of 6 double yolkers? Go for number 5. Here we go.
Well, I go for the larger of the last remaining 2 eggs. So
okay.
Here we go.
Sound
effects and all.
Yes.
Oh! It's another one.
Oh! That is exciting.
Five out of five. This is freakish. What went on in the old place? Oh, tension. We've got tension music, for goodness sake. This is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, can we get you? Are you ready? You ready, Anthony?
I'm ready.
If you want to have a minute to take a couple of deep breaths and get yourself together again, we can understand it. But are you ready to go? Here we go.
Four. I've composed myself. Here we go. Right. Let's go. Oh! Unbelievable, it's another one.
Six out of six.
Genuinely.
Fantastic. 6 out of 6. Double yokers.
Grand slam.
My guess is that the newspapers, the tabloids, are going to want fun stories. I would expect a call from one of the old red tops overnight.
Take a photo before you beat them up for an omelette. Take a photo of the thing.
Or make a cake. Let's have a look at the six. You've had some of them, though. You've only got two left, haven't you?
Yeah, let's have a look at these two.
I've got these. I'll send these, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, all right. Well, look, we'll put the word out there to our friends in the newspaper business, and you could be splashed all over the centre pages.
Well,
I'm guessing at the moment.
Front page at the
it
moment.
Won't. No, it's not. It won't be. It won't be. It probably wouldn't have been anyway, but it certainly won't be now.
Page
Anthony,
eight.
Thanks for bringing TalkSport some live sport in these strange times. Thanks
welcome.
Very much. There we are, Anthony Cassidy. There, man.
He was quite excited.
It was. Well, who? What? Weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, of course you were.
Sadly.
Yeah, that's right. It's come to this. Jeff wonders in Cov, is the egg breaking taking place behind closed doors? Almost certainly. Acoustically, it sounded like he was in. He'd go in the garden to do it, would he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Five quick questions based on last week's shows at Cheltenham. Andy, on Friday we spoke to Freddie Burns from England, fly half.
Yes.
Which club does he play for?
Freddie Burns.
He told us he wasn't a million miles away from us.
Is he the place for Gloucester or Bath?
Which one are you going to go for? Got to be quick.
Gloucester.
Bath. Okay. The two Tonys, Cotty and Gale, we met them. We got on their dog. Hurriedly got on the dog at which famous dog track?
Romford. 6:19 at Romford.
Oh, see, you remember
time. That.
Who was Neil Phillips? We spoke to him last Wednesday.
Neil Phillips, the wine tipster.
The wine tipster, yeah, you're on fire. Oh, if it wasn't for Gloucester and Bath. Paul Whitehouse joined us as well.
Yeah.
What part does he play in the Only Fools and Horses musical?
Is he Uncle Abbott or Granddad?
Well, you tell me. What is he?
Granddad.
He's Granddad, right. Michael Duff joined us as well on Monday. Former Burnley defender, Cheltenham manager. For which country did he play his international football, Michael?
Did he talk about that?
Yeah, we touched on it. Yeah. We mentioned it in passing.
I remember him in Cheltenham.
Michael Duff.
I remember the chat.
Yeah, Michael Duff.
I'd say something like Gibraltar.
No, Northern Ireland. He'd be chuffed with that. I'm on that bombshell.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. You got off to a bad start with Don't Ask Me, but recovered nicely until Gibraltar.
Well, there you go. Had Gibraltar on the mind.
I think you probably did. Okay, that's it. We're back tomorrow. We're going to try and track down Dr. Carl Kennedy, who was supposed to be on with us today.
Yeah.
So we will work on that and see if we can line him up for a bit. I know you're keen to have a neighbours chat this week.
Well, I am. I'm looking. This is a big week. It's the 35th anniversary.
It's their cup final. So, anyway, thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow from 1 if you can listen live. If not, podcast available. Where you got this one? At around 5 o'clock. Keep safe.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.